as we come to worship the God of heaven. Sometimes I think there's more people going to church today than any other day of the year. I talked to someone that I know, and they said, yes, there will be between 3,000 and 4,000 people there today. And that's a small congregation, we might think. And other congregations are way up in the thousands, you know. Last Sunday, Kevin Bray talked about the life of Christ and how they had a execution and how they had false trials that weren't true. And they did that at night. And they brought accusations against him in such a way that get away, kill him, get rid of him. We don't want him. And John 1:11, it says he came to his own and his own received him not. What about the God of heaven that would send his son to this earth? He came to his own and they refused him. They wanted to kill him and get rid of him. And that's the lesson that we had last Lord's Day. And we understand how the Jews felt about Jesus Christ. We thank you this day for your presence as you come and study the Word of God with us. In the reading, if I can come and find it back over here, as Joshua was reading there, on the board it says, in Exodus, the 32nd chapter, I'll just reread it to bring emphasis upon it. Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. We're talking about a rock this day. It came to pass that while my glory passed by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And here he's talking about Moses. You'll see me. You'll see my presence. You'll see my glory passing by. And I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt not see my face. Excuse me. And thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt thou not see. You know, talking about that rock, and the Bible says much about rocks. Jesus, when he began to preach on this earth and the mountain he was on, he gave his blessings upon his people. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they persecuted for righteousness' sake, and on he goes. But he also says something that's very well for us to understand, and it's talking about a rock. Jesus' examples were so plain sometimes you couldn't misunderstand them. He talked about the parable of the sower. It fell on four kinds of soil. It's pretty plain that when it's landed on good soil, like you guys, that it can bring forth fruit, some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. He talked about a merchant man going and leaving his money with different people, five and a five and a two and a one. And he came back and he expected something. And you know the good Lord's going to expect something from us. In the 7th chapter in the 24th verse, it says, he that heareth these sayings of mine. And you know it's wonderful that you hear the sayings of Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. You better hear him. Amen. He that heareth these sayings of mine. He didn't stop there. He says, and doeth them. Shall be like a man that built his house upon a rock. That's what we're talking about, building that house on a rock. And we're talking about that rock even. And that bears a lot of emphasis. There's a lot of rocks that's out there. Upon that rock. They said the winds came and the rains beat. The winds came and beat upon that house. And it fell not because it was founded upon a rock. That's a pretty simple lesson. You wouldn't have to read the next verse to even understand it. That he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like a man that built his house upon the sand. You know, these three verses are so simple and plain that if you build your house upon something that's no more than sand, it will erode in time. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. You know, a house that you might build religiously, it'll wind up in vain. But the man that built his house on the sand, we understand, as you go out there and you write and you build a little sand castle out here, and then the tide comes in and he takes it all away. Building your house upon the sand is like that. In California, when they had the fires out there, and then the grass and the trees were dying, and then the rains came and beat upon those houses, and you see them begin to crumble and fall down. It's like building your house on the sand. And so Jesus leaves these illustrations for us to understand about building on the rock. You know, back in the Old Testament, when Moses was going to offer up his son, that they were going up this mountain and climbing it, and they were gone 3 days. And the son said, "Daddy, you've got the fire and you got the wood, but where's the sacrifice?" And he said, "God will provide a sacrifice." And so when they got up there and Isaac was laying and his daddy was ready to kill him, he realized that he was that sacrifice. But even in our case, as Isaac escaped being killed, so our Lord was that sacrifice, and he was that rock. I want to read a verse that makes it so clear and so plain when we talk about something like that. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, "Moreover, brethren," he's giving them some more instructions, "I would not that you should be ignorant." You know, God doesn't want any of his children to be ignorant. "And how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." And it says, "And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea." And it says, "And they did all eat that same spiritual meat." You know, even though they were eating manna in the wilderness, they were eating of that spiritual meat, and that was Christ or the Messiah. And they didn't realize it, but it says they were all baptized in the cloud. In a cloud up here where there's water in it, and these clouds have water, and then you have water beside you, and you went down through there, and it says they were all baptized. Guess while we're up here, we just better mark this off. Joyce is going home today, and we look forward to that. But anyway, over on this side here, coming down like this, and going over to the other side, it says that when the Egyptians were coming after the Israelites, and Moses stood here with the rod in his hand, and the Red Sea opened up, and the Egyptians that were coming after them couldn't quite catch them. God put a barrier between the Israelites and the Egyptians that's back here. There were 10 plagues back here, and the Israelites were building upon that rock. And the Bible tells us here right now that they were all baptized. And say the sea level is right along in here. They go down in like this. And I was talking to my grandson yesterday a little bit about it. And he was referring that story, and I think maybe I'll mention it in Bible study, that when he read a picture or saw a film on it, that here the Egyptians came after them. And it says that over here on this side, there's one Egyptian that got through all of that. And my grand said that that's not true. There wasn't one soul of the Egyptians. All the chariots and all the things that were there, their swords and stuff, and it's been said that they maybe are still finding some over here, some swords and staves and something of that nature. But as the Egyptians were coming after them, God put a cloud between them. They couldn't get to each other, and put a pillar of fire that the Israelites could see, and so they keep on their journey. And you know how many people there was at that point in time? There were 603,550 people of the children of Israel that was numbered. All of those people were going down like this. But they had their mothers and their daddies, and their brothers and their sisters and their grandma and their grandpa. Save for each person that went down and were numbered that came on the other side, if they had five of their family, that would be 3 million people. 3 million people, can you understand that? That went down and they went with every hoof, every cow, every sheep, every camel. And when Pharaoh said, you leave your little ones here, you leave your livestock here. And Moses said, no, they're all going to go when we go. And they all went down here, all this many, many people, as well as the livestock, they got over to the other side. But you know, when they were going down, they picked up something. There's about 12 rocks down here that they picked up. And they carried them on over here, and they were put over here on this other side. When your children ask you, why are these rocks here? You tell them that when the Red Sea was opened up, one from every tribe picked up a rock and came over here and set up an altar to the God of heaven. You know, for mankind back then to be building on that rock, did you read what the rest of that scripture said? And we're all baptized into Moses and the cloud and in the sea, and did all drink the same spiritual meat. And that was the Messiah. And they did all drink of the same spiritual drink. You know, they hit that rock and water came out. They were begging for water. And they drank of that spiritual rock. That's capitalized. And they followed that rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. You don't have any way of misunderstanding when they were going through and all the things that they ate and they drank, they were all looking toward to the Son of God, that rock, and building on that rock. They were building back then on that rock, much like we build on that rock today. And we sing that song, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. And the reading, as Josh read this morning, that was cleft for me. And there's a hiding place in there that he covers me. He's the shelter in the time of storm. And we need to appreciate that. Maybe I'm getting all this before it ought to be. But like I say that my grandson said that one guy over here escaped of the Egyptians. Now, there's not one person, the Bible says, escaped. All the Israelites did and all the Egyptians died. You know, when our children go back to class and they need that. I learned this story when I was a little kid. By Sister Wakefield, Sister Poor, and now we have their grandchildren and children teaching back there. They tell the same story. a story that we're to remember. It's the greatest stories that's ever given when you look up your Bible and you tell it to your kids. Don't try to listen to people say, well, God put a big bridge there and let them cross over. No. And what does it say? That they begin to stumble and fall as they went down? God might have even put some steps in there. I don't know. But he said they went over on dry ground. You know, they weren't in muddy ground. They didn't have it up to their knees. They didn't have a bit of dirt or of water on them. And when 3,000 of them tasted of that, they were looking to that rock, the Bible says, that followed them. It was Jesus back here that they were following. And we have to understand that. I want to tell you one story, and you have maybe heard it before. I've said it before. Brother Don Walker was an elder here at the congregation for many years. We appreciated him very much with Brother Poor and other elders that we did have. But he said that they came to the Red Sea on a boat. He's out here in the boat, you know. And they said when they stopped the engines and everything is quiet, they turn on the loudspeaker and they said, we think that this is the exact spot of where Moses took the children of Israel and the Red Sea was opened up. And they even used the scripture, remember they were all baptized. All that generation was baptized in the water and the sea. And you know, for a government to let a ship stop in a time of war when you're needed to be on the front line and stop and give pause to the God of heaven and say, we think this is where that the Red Sea was parted. And to know the man that was there at the day. You know, it just is outstanding that things like that happen. And we need to appreciate the fact that we need to be building on that rock. They were back then. When Moses went up on the mountain with the two tables of stone, and God was with him, and God wrote those Ten Commandments on both sides of those two tables, and he was up there for 40 days, they were building on that rock. The Ten Commandments. Even the New Testament looks back. And many of those same commandments are there today. Not remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. But anyway, there's so many wonderful things that the Word of God teaches us and leaves us with, and we need to appreciate it to the fullest amount. When Moses went up there with those tables and he came down and the people were messed up, he broke those tables. He went back up again. And God's finger began to write on the stone again. How could a finger write and embed into a stone? You know, nothing is impossible for God. And so he went down, and even we read those Ten Commandments today. They were building on that rock. And many of the prophets, the judges, ruled for 450 years because they were building on that prophet. And the scripture says, and that rock was Christ. Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, John the Baptist, or Elias, or one of the prophets. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus says? Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Upon the statement that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, I'll build my church. And there's not a power in the world that can destroy it. And Daniel says, in the days of these kingdoms shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that'll never be destroyed. That kingdom hasn't been destroyed, nor never it will be. It'll take us up to heaven someday. Where it says in Peter, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, eternal in the heavens, and when you build on that rock. You know, they didn't build the church on Peter. They built it on that rock. And that rock, the Bible says, was Christ. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, built upon the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. One reading I want to read in Psalms, and that'll be the last. I'm going a little bit too far. I thought I had it marked, excuse me. No? Okay. And it's David speaking about Solomon, and he says, my son Solomon, he's talking to, you hear the instructions of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother. And that was Bathsheba, and he was David. He said, you listen to my instructions, for they shall be as an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains upon thy neck. You're elaborately outfitted when you have the word of God. You have that wisdom. But then he says in the next verse, if sinners entice you, you consent thou not. You know what the New Testament says? Evil communication to corrupt good manners. You're out there and somebody robs a little bit, or even goes to a 10-cent store and picks up something, a pencil or something, and there you're with him and you're laughing and everything. If sinners entice you, you don't do it, the Bible says. Don't put up with their mess. If they say, come with us and let us wait for blood, they're going in for the kill, and let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as in the grave. Just like putting a person in the grave, you're going to steal everything you got and hold to those that go down to the pit. And ye shall find all precious substances. You know, when you tear up their house, just like when the Egyptians were invaded by the Israelites, and ye shall fill your houses with them. You said, cast in thy lot among us. And all that's got a purse, all that's going to go into the same purse. You know, when the thief says, or a robber, or someone says, certain thing, you can believe them, can't you? But he says, my son, walk now thou in their way, and refrain thyself from their foot. God's telling his people to refrain and stay away from those things. Your mother and your father have put around your neck certain things that you must be doing, and he mentioned that to them. Thinking something else. Anyway, the beautiful lesson that he gives in the Corinthian letter here, that they were all baptized, and of course that's a New Testament term. I don't know if the word baptized is in the Old Testament. About 80 times in the New Testament, when it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You know, the scripture gives you both sides of those things. Which do you want? My son, he says, and he talks to them as his son. In 1 Timothy 5:22, Paul is talking to his son in the faith. He says, don't you lay hands suddenly on any man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. And he says, and you keep yourself pure. You know, when Paul's looking at this young man, don't be partakers of other men's sins. don't you lay hands suddenly on old man. You're liable to be put in jail. You keep yourself pure. That's what he tells us today as we journey through life. You know, our youth answers a lot of times, I'm a good moral person. But you know, it takes more than being moral. We need to be able to give an answer to every man for the hope that's in us. It takes more. We have to be approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. It's the first commandment with promise that you can live long on the earth. When you see kids in jail and trouble with the police, and in school they're having trouble, here's kids that haven't learned well to obey their parents in the Lord. For when you disobey your parents, you dishonor your parents and you dishonor God, because God has given us that commandment. When the Bible says, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old and a lot, depart from it. You know, just like a Brother Collier, the good Christian I knew, he saw down trees, he carried them over to the edge of the woods, he took them to his sawmill, but he used horses to do that. He had 30-some horses. He just loved those horses. He had one insured for $20,000 way back then. But anyway, he could just lay the reins on those horses' back, because when he said something, they did it. He didn't have to whip them. We don't have to whip our children either. We can correct them, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And when he would say gee or haw, they knew exactly what to do. They went out to that log and took it right out by his truck. He unhooked and they go get another log. You know, when you learn training, it's almost natural that you do that very same thing. If your parents say, don't ever say a cuss word, don't ever get used to it. Never say a cuss word. You know, it's a training that all of us need. You know, we need examples a lot of times in our youth. And sometimes, like when David went to take some food to his brothers that were in the trenches, his daddy Jesse had about 7 children. The others were in the war, in the trenches. And David took food out to them. And he said, what's going on here? His brother said, you're just a little nosy squirt. Get out here, go back and take care of those few sheep. He heard that Goliath was defying the army of God. I could take care of that giant. They said, no. They put on a coat of mail for him, a sword and a spear and a helmet, I reckon. He took them all off and he just had a sling. And he picked up 5 stones. You know, if you had an old three-cornered stone, it wouldn't sail very perfectly. You think David knew what he was doing? That he'd killed a lion and a bear? And he knew what to do. And so when he came up to this giant, he just mowed him down. But you know, if his brothers would have been there, because another place they said he had 5 brothers, or 4 brothers, he had a stone for them too, likely. I don't know, but he did have 5 stones. You know, sometimes when their youth speaks up, even a young person like David, or Shadrach or Meshach and Abednego, and they wouldn't bow down to this image that Nebuchadnezzar had made, or they'd be thrown in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar says, you know what? You know what the Bible says? You know what it says? That you're going to be thrown in the fire if you don't do this. And they said, so be it. We're not going to worship any. You know, those people didn't give any excuse. Our youth doesn't give excuse sometimes for serving God or building on that rock. And we shouldn't either. So things like this are so many. I'm sorry. I guess I got to close right now. But you know, you talk to your children and they know what to do. And you say to them, do you understand how to be saved? And they say, we know, Dad. It's taught every Sunday when we get together. The invitation is offered. And we know that we need to hear and that we get faith by hearing, that we need to confess him with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation. And they said, we know that scripture, except you repent, you'll always likewise perish. He that repents and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. They knew all of that. And they even knew that if you fall away and you're not always upright as you ought to be, that you can repent and pray God. And so even at this time, we offer that same invitation to you. And I got to talking too much and I got carried away, excuse me. But I think the lessons that are in the Bible, they're building on that rock. You know, for 4,000 years, they were building on that rock that was to follow them. And we have that rock that's already lived before us. And he's our salvation. And the Bible says that he by himself hath purged our sins. Nobody else in this whole world. It wasn't a priest that you need to confess to or anything else. It's unto Jesus Christ we owe our allegiance. As we sing the invitation number, let your ones be known if you're subject to it while we stand and sing.